Hello and welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. How is everyone doing today? And that was a bit of Ascension by David Atwell. Amazing musician, and he's, of course, been on Awakenings as well. And shout out hello to Cosmic Dimensions, everyone listening there, and the archive, and iTunes. Hello, and hello, Paulo, our guest co-host, who's been helping man the program, surf the program. How you doing, Paulo?
Aloha, everyone. I'm doing great, Michelle.
good. So it's almost a little late here, Paulo, and because having an amazing conversation with a dear, long time friend and client and fellow journeyer on the path. And I want to dive in a little bit to what we were discussing as well. But first, because I've gotten email here, want to touch base with everyone about logging into Blog Talk. I did send this person an email, but every now and then I get like a little flurry of emails about people can't find the number or can't log in, or they go to my website, selfenlightened.com, and the number's there. I don't know that it's there. It may not be there, but I do believe on the Blog Talk Radio, on the Awakenings page, the call-in number is there, and I will give it at the top of the program right now, 347-539-5122. So 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad if you want to get on air. And then I have people asking me about logging in to the chat room, the Sacred Space of Empowerment. All I know is when you go to the Awakenings page, the profile page on Blog Talk Radio, scroll down to look what show is airing, what the current program is. Let's see if I can find that here. And click on that. Okay, and I know when you click on that, that will open the chat. See, I never go in the chat. I shouldn't say never, but rarely go in the chat because I'm, on my phone. I'm patched in by phone. And I believe when you click the link, the chat comes up, right? Is that it? So now I go upcoming broadcast, Way of the Weirdo with author Jason Gregory. So you'd click that, and then I believe... How do you get in? That's true. Well, there's the call-in number, very large, on the right-hand side, everyone. Call a number to speak with the host, 347-539-5122. And, of course, that's host, guest host, co-host, guest, everybody. And then to log in, do you know, Paulo, how do they log in if they want to get in the chat? Does anyone know how to do that? Way at the bottom. Okay, here we go. So you have to scroll beyond chat, and there'll be some white space, and it looks like there's going to be nothing else. And then it'll say, note to comment in the chat, you must be logged in. Please register or log in. And then you can also leave comments. I love comments. How about you, Paulo? I love positive, refreshing, life-affirming.
Yes, you like the insight. Yes.
Yes.
Everybody's mind must be whirling now with the things that are going on. We'd like to hear what theirs.
Yeah, you know what? And please leave us comments on the BTR page, on iTunes. You know, I don't check it all the time, but boy, when I go there and I see, and I listen, I make the adjustments. People ask to change the format of the show or certain suggestions, I'll morph, Yeah, so what I can say to people that are listening right now and that are going to be listening later in iTunes and the archives is that you have to open the chat. You have to click the link on the front of the page. That'll get you to the chat, and then you have to scroll beyond the chat where it looks like there's not going to be anything. BTR, you need to make adjustments on that, I would say, because it is a lot of white space. And then Denise is saying, I had to refresh to see if the chat... Oops. We are. You had to refresh. Okay, so you might have to refresh. So hopefully let me know if this has helped anybody when, to know because I haven't really walked through it until now, so it makes sense. But you do have to click the link. So how's that? That gives people some good insights. Also, thanks to people, more people have signed up for my course. I'm so excited. My Daily Om course, 2012, Navigate Your Greatest Soul Shift. I mean, this time is unprecedented and will be. It really helps you navigate the soul shift, ascension, spiritual awakening. You know, it really focuses a lot on the awakening process, knowing yourself on a soul level, connecting with your soulmate, soul tribe, really manifesting from the place of the design of the soul design, the template of the soul, and assisting, of course, in that ascension process. And it's, you have it for a year to reread, re-listen, redo the processes, the videos. And I'm just so tickly that Daily Om relaunched it. It has Jumana, who works there I guess author liaison, said, "My God, this is a comprehensive course. This is life transforming." And I'm like, "Oh, I never do anything halfway. Bye. If I'm going to do something, I'm really going to do it. I'm really going to write Paula Webkin."
As far as I know, you, yes, that's true.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I can't help. Or I might not do it. You know, that's just how it goes. So we got that. So got how to get in, 347-539-5122. Yes, we are going to be doing readings. Our awakened guest today is Jason Gregory, who wrote a book, The Way of the Weirdo. And I love that, having been called a weirdo for so long. And as we're growing up, we called each other weirdos. So I really want to get his take on it. And also, you know, weirdo comes from weird. I don't know if people knew this, but from the Nordic language, the Norse language and Scandinavian, if you've done any runic studies, which I did at one point, weird means fate. It came from W-Y-R-D, I believe, W-Y-R-R-D, veered. It's veered, it's weird, meaning that you're connecting into the mystery, the awe, the unknowable, Uden, you know, the primordial force of the all that is. And so when you're weird, you're said to be of that, or that is happening, you know, like a synchronicity, like that's weird, but that's God. In a way, weird is God. So I feel it's going to be a very...
Weird.
It's going to be a very weird conversation, dialogue with Jason. Which I'm looking forward to that. Looking at, you know, esoteric. That's what I love. You know, please suggest other people. Both have an extensive background, and I love being. There's not too many people that have studied, so we'll see how much he has. But the esoteric knowledge and, you know, hermetic philosophy, and I just love talking about all that because there really are the kernels of, when you start getting into that, you start getting into what I call beyond constructed beliefs. You know, there's still beliefs there, but it morphs. You start tapping into the magic of the universe and the mystery and the unfolding and direct experience. See, when you study esoteric knowledge or wisdom and you study spiritualism, it's all on direct experience. It's not, you know, there's books, but it's there's transmissions. It's all working with subtle energy. You've got to feel it, interpret it to know it. It's not about reading or just studying and saying, my teacher said, or, you know, there's a little bit of that. You have mentors and guides and you apprentice. But, you know, you don't go to the next level until you have had direct experience, you know, continually and consistently. And you may just have other dimensional teachers. Not all your teachers are, you know, denser physical form. So I always love when we get to play in those realms of the occult. I love it. Yeah. So, yeah, God is weird. Elisa in the chat, yeah, God is weird. It's the weird, the Odin, the mystery. It's, you know, it's the unknowable, the approachable. So, Paulo, something I want to dive into, because it's been coming up the last few weeks, but really highlighted the last few days, and actually going to change a little bit of the way I work with people. This whole idea with the soul expression, living from the soul design, and I feel you're going to really see, you started seeing it in 2011, more people individually waking up or having their own, as we're talking about now, right, personal experience of their awakening or what they need to do or not do or what they need to shift or, you know, is something really relevant anymore or is it, you know, something real for them, whether relationship or situation. It's kind of, you know, looking within, reflecting. And outer change tends to do that for people, pokes them, you know, they look outward for a while until you start looking inward. The one thing that I want to really stress with everyone is that this whole idea of the, living from the template of the soul or the soul design is also accountability or responsibility, the ability to respond. You can't just put your life on snooze control anymore. You know, it's you've really got to start stepping up to the plate in your life. Otherwise, these energies are just going to mow you over. And whatever that stepping up looks like, it's going to be different for different people. And I've had a couple of people that I've worked for, even though the guidance has shown differently, their path has been to kind of just pay people to get things done or have them happen without them being inserted. Everyone knows, you know how when people call in and they say, oh, I just want a general reading, just tell me what you see. And I always say, it's your life. You need to be invested. What's your question? Right?
That's true.
You can't, right? You have to put yourself in your life now. You know, you can't just say, what do you see for me? You know, and you see this on a business level with the idea of branding, which to me, branding is just being you and just putting the packaging, you know, the you packaging on stuff. Yeah, you have to kind of fit into a certain template or a mold. You know, obviously you guys tune into this program, you know, I'm not going to be talking about dominatrix or something, you know, unless it relates to spirituality.
Oh, you're not.
I'm not going to be talking about a spelling bee, you know.
They're spiritually weird, too.
They are, yes. They're needed and necessary. I have no judgment of all of manifestation. There's some I prefer to be closer to, but but you get what I'm saying. You have an idea. You know, when you go to the store to get bottled water, you know, fizzy water, you expect it to have some bubbles, you know, or you go to an Italian restaurant. So there's going to be variations with it, and that's where the soul comes in, our uniqueness. So please, everybody, start looking at where are you wimping out right now in your life, and thinking other people are going to give you the answers. Not to say, yes, you want to get readings, you want to get input from a mentor, a teacher, a therapist, friends, family. You want to do your research, you know, whether it's on the internet. Let's say you're getting a book published. You want to look and see, what is my book about? You know, how are other people, are they going to look at my book, or the book cover, and say, I see this in that cover, that it's communicating to me. It's all about communication in various ways. We're communicating the higher self or the soul self in various ways. It's not we're communicating the constructed ego from, you know, that's been censored. We're not communicating the censored self. So we have to come out of our shell a bit. So ask yourself, where are you in your life right now? Maybe some of you aren't doing this. Some, you know, I even look toward myself. Where am I doing this a little bit? Where am I doing it a smidgy, where I'm not stepping fully in my life and saying, I like this or I want this, you know, whether it's speaking up or your routine. You know, for instance, I don't start my work or working with people, my service, my inner work, until later in the afternoon. So I have my mornings for my meditation, readings, go for a walk, get a cappuccino, whatever I want to do, go for a hike, go to the beach, lay in with bonbons, read books, I don't care, watch TV, a movie. So I have my time, my divine communication. And so that works for me. Someone else could say, oh, no, Michelle, if the early bird catches the worm, you need to get up and get out and da-da-da-da. That's not my reality. That's not for me at this moment in time. That's not what my higher self, my...
Can you hear my voice? Oh, great. Okay. this is the Uranian energy right now. You know, things are going quickly together. There's windows happening, and then there's abrupt stops. And I guess we're kind of in that window right now on Blog Talk. Michelle's very good at getting everything back together. She'll be back. What would you like for me to share? Any questions about the energies around, what's going around, anything? Type it in and I'll answer it, if I can. Okay. Is this the quickening? Oh, that's interesting. Yes, it is the quickening. There are many, many energies. The universe has put us together in this time frame that's recreated alignment of planets, and these planets have really been, sending energy to our planet, and it is a quickening. The gates are quicker. They're more powerful. Hence, all the teachers, as Michelle with her soul alignment, all these informational places to kind of rearrange energy. How does one intuit energy? Because this is all shifting. Everybody used to have some type of certain idea of how to get through, but now that is up to interpreting and getting involved in your life, which is a really good. Here she is.
Yeah. I was on a roll. And Blog Talk Radio bumped me out, and then I couldn't get back in because it said I didn't enter the right pin. Even though I entered the right pin, I was looking right at it 7 or 8 times in a row. So, it's weird. It's the way of the weirdo. It's the so I don't know how much everybody heard, but I asked Paul, where are people not inserting yourself in your life? That's the question I think to ask. And I think that you were talking about the quickening, which we've actually been in the quickening since 2005, 2006, actually. So it's getting quicker and quicker. That's why the gateways, is, I think you were saying, Paula, are staying open longer because we're getting more and more acclimated
and
to the
new. Stronger, yes. Longer and stronger.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Longer and stronger. Because we're acclimating to the energy, you know, more and more. So, Dream Master, high energy, Michelle, this happened. That's true. Once, I mean, we're all on fire here. It's the Ethernet can't totally handle it yet. We'll have to upgrade. I'll have to give it a little upgrade. Oh, yes, for readings, I want to give the number again, 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad, if you will. So as you're in the quickening, what it's also going to bring up is, where are you not showing up in your life? And I mean that in the sense of, from a soul perspective, where have you been feeling those nudges to create, to share, maybe taking time to go within? I had a wonderful experience last night, actually, on this, where I'd watched a movie. I love international films, indie films, foreign flicks, Swedish kind of a crime drama thing. Very, very good. And thank you for the subtitles. All I could understand was nine. So there was a couple other words also, but. Anyway, and then I thought, I just had this kind of restless energy, and I thought, I really want to just have a deep, deep sleep, you know, last night I was thinking that. And I happened to look on Twitter, and I tweeted a couple of things, and then I saw somebody saying goodnight, and they were going to go play their, I don't know if it was crystal or Tibetan singing bowls. And I thought, ooh, that gave me an idea, and I thought, oh, I'm going to do that too, and I'm going to meditate. Oh, my God, I had the greatest, you know, meditation, tonal sound meditation with my singing bowls, and then worked with the reverberation of them in my meditation. And I was so aligned, so peaceful, and I had an amazing night's sleep. Now, I could have said, oh, no, I'm going to do that tomorrow or in the morning, or why am I doing that, or I'm going to read, or I decided I was going to read earlier, so maybe I should read. But no, I followed that nudge. So I want to ask you guys, where are you needing to follow that nudge? Because what happens in the quickening is we become more aware of ourselves as energetic beings. And so we begin to connect in and follow that, the subtle energy, through the signs, the messages, the feelings within, the tones, the nudges within. But you have to show up. You have to be invested. That's why I have people, when they call in, ask a question, not just what do you think or what do you see. Then you're not in your life, and what are you wanting to put forth? What's important to you in that moment? And I don't know, Paula, you have any thought on that?
Do I have any?
Like what? Do you have any?
Do I have any? I was writing in the chat room that we are all kind of a magician. And we're more like a juggler. We're juggling the energies and juggling. And so as the juggler in the tarot, what is above is below. So that we're responsible by juggling below, being in human suits. we're juggling
that.
Energies. How does that transmit to our soul? And when we connect with our soul energy, that soul energy propels to the highest. It goes to the above. Because the soul is connected to the furthest most point above, the beginning, and to us, all the way of us now, and to the future. There is a time is an illusion. So this is like a pure energy rod, if you look at it that way. This pure energy rod. And periodically, our energies get in there. We cloak into there. We want to know what's going on. We look around. We change things. And this is exactly what the human experience is about.
Yeah.
And at certain times, our emotional levels, our auric levels, bring us into certain places in this pendulum. So it's right now you have to realize that when you're going into your bliss, into the love of who you are, you're connecting with that major, major gate of energy. And so you can receive that and know that if you're pulling on a low energy day, then pull into that. Pull it, like charge in, like have a universal USB cord and charge up. And if you know friends that are emulating energy and love, hang with that. So it's going to be present in every way. As Michelle said, show up because it's there. And it'll reflect what you're connecting to.
Yeah, and I'd love that. It is about tapping into source energies. It really is. That you realize that you're connected to source energies. You know, you're connected to the mainframe. Yeah, we have different, it's like having different devices. You know, in a way, people are like, we're like devices to each other, you know. But you don't want to always just overtax that. You want to connect in to the mainframe. You know, you want to connect into the all that is, that amazing electromagnetic brain bank, you know, and beyond. And there is no separation. You know, I had somebody email me the other day that the ego and the soul, the higher self are separate. No, they're not. That's such, what, you can't have it both ways. You can't say there's no separation and there's oneness except for the ego. It's all a creation of divine mind. It's all a creation of us. It all has energetic properties to it. You know, it all is a manifested form of us, you know, of source. So the better term I would say is maybe false self, or, you know, maybe non-life enhancing, if you want to say that, or little self. But to try to separate off or kill something off that is an aspect of you. You know, I know this is very controversial with people, but you have to begin to see it's the way that you are in this physical dimension. Why we're here doing this is to celebrate this, celebrate our physicality, celebrate what we love, what we like, or how we like to do it, whatever that it is, you know, just being, just by being. You know, we are an idea in the mind of God, or in the all that is. We are a vibration that, you know, manifests or morphs into a thought or thought form, and that gets played out. So my idea, you know, really 2012 and beyond is really about honoring that, not going back into the self-flagellation, self-denial, self-sacrifice of the old ages of, you know, I'm here to sacrifice and not be, you know, of the flesh. I'm not of the flesh. Well, you are of the flesh because that's the game we're playing on this dimension. You know, 3, 4, 5, 6, as long as you're in manifested form, that's part of the game. That's what you know. And so it's another belief to play out, to be here, but to pretend you're not supposed to be here. You can do that if you want. I mean, there's so many games here, right? I mean, it's a game.
Well, I just wrote that this human experience is a red carpet event.
Oh, yes.
It really is. Because we've always been preparing, studying for something for that celebration. When do I get the degree to have that? When do I become married? There's always some goal of some place of celebration that we have now the experience at being on this level to do. You know, so I called it a red carpet event.
I love it, and I agree. I absolutely agree, and with all that red love passion, you know, it's really a time for celebrating the mystery and living it and allowing it to be. You know, that's allowing yourself to be that, you know, intergalactic, galactic, metaphysical, spiritual, embodied, non-embodied being, you know, to live as full as you're being called to. Now, see, I didn't say that you can, but that you're being called to, because I don't presume to know everyone's path. You know, I could know when I tune in, but not everybody's path is going to unfold. The unfolding of the soul design is going to be different for everyone, you know, or slightly different anyway. And it's really about celebrating that. Let's celebrate by also going to some phone lines. Ooh, hello, 612-387. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle and Paulo.
Hi, it's great to be awakened with you.
Well, I'm celebrating today because it's my birthday, so thank you for taking my call.
Wonderful.
And
happy birthday.
This is Carla. So, this is
hi, Carla.
Topic.
Happy Appearance Day. It's nice that you appeared on this dimension.
Thank you. I love it.
Love to see your body through day.
Yeah. And were you a question, sweetie?
I do. Your topic is perfect today because about 2 years ago I had a lot of nudges to move to Arizona, and I presented myself opportunities to not move at that point in time and had lots of life learning lessons. And I'm feeling probably later on this year that a move would be in place, and I would love more insight if it's really Arizona, Phoenix, or if I should really maybe be looking more towards Sedona and doing more myofascial release work. And now my parents are talking about moving to Vegas. So it's kind of all in the same area, but I just didn't know what would maybe be help resonate my soul.
I hear,
like,
a calling.
Warmer
I
weather.
Hear a calling from Sedona, Santa Fe. I hear an ancient part of you or an ancestor, there's an ancient call there, and you'll connect into a way that you will be able to relax and to allow yourself to see and feel the real love that you are, that, you know, be in more total love of who you are by bringing in more energy. I feel you're not bringing in where you are right now enough energy to you. And I feel that an area like Sedona or the Santa Fe area will bring it in. It'll hold that. You'll be able to hold that energy there. And I feel when you connect with that, there's going to be a big a level of opening up to more relationships.
This is of the time right now of connecting on a soul level. Remember, I said at the top of the program, your soul self, your solar self, but you know that in manifested form is also your soul tribe, those groups and connectings, soulmates, really. I feel, Carla Renu, I would agree. I do see the travel with your family. I feel you're going to somehow travel a bit with what you do, the healing work that you do, which I feel is going to be also energetic. I feel that it's the myofascial release, which I've had, by the way, I love. There is that, but I feel, and I can see you studying something. So you are going to be going to some kind of course or class. There's a few books, but notebooks, a lot of online stuff involved. And I do feel you teaming up with, it could be a center, some kind of, there's a lot of physical there. So I don't know if it's acupuncture or chiropractic, but there's some kind of healthcare center that I do feel you doing some work through. But I agree with Paulo. It's about connecting with others. You're needing to connect with more people. Is that true?
Yeah, and part of it for me is I'm in Minnesota, and I just I'm struggling
with
having
yet. It's a new place.
You're not expanded in Minnesota. You're contracted in Minnesota.
Yeah, I feel like 8-9 months of the year, I barely survive, and I just can feel my soul just doesn't get excited, and I'm like, I just want to feel alive every day.
That's a good thing.
You'll feel that more
when you resonate with the warmer climate. It'll allow you to relax because you've been like, you know, like gritting your teeth, like tense.
Yeah.
And this tenseness is creating a blockage of energy around you. If people pick it up, you know, it's in the aura. And you need to allow that to let go. So when you get into this different climate, you allow yourself to feel more of who you are. As Michelle said, more of
what aligns with your soul. I don't even feel your energy. So you're about to move, right?
Well, it's probably not quite there yet, but I definitely feel like maybe later spring, possibly summer.
That's close. This year. Start putting that in motion.
Okay.
You know, start putting that in motion, because I definitely feel the warmer climate, the Southwest, but I do feel travel. So there may be something with your parents, or you land at the same place together, then you're driving at different locations, feeling it out, connecting with people,
yeah.
and then move
okay.
on your own. There, but I definitely see you in that area, absolutely.
Oh, perfect. Thank you guys so much. I just so appreciate who you guys are and presenting all the information that you guys have. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to connect with you.
Have a great day.
You too. That brings up a lot of people going to be shifting this year, a lot of moves. We're in a year of a lot of potential possibility opening up. That's why I'm saying you gotta invest in yourself right now. Let's see. We've got a Skype caller, which I have no clue. It's just 11111. It's you. Hello,
Hi,
Skype
Michelle.
Caller.
Hi, Michelle. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Welcome to the program.
Michelle,
I can hear
Monica.
You.
Monica.
Hello. Oh,
Hi.
Monica. Hello. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, dude,
how
wonderful.
You, how are you doing? Hi, Paolo. Hi, everybody else.
Hi.
It's really good to, you know, hear your show again. And I called with a question, so I was hoping you could help me. I am not sure whether I want to continue with my graduate education or not, because it's taking a huge toll on me financially. And I'm wondering whether I should get back to India, whether I should quit my studies, what should I do, what is my sole purpose, what is staying on in this course bringing me.
I feel she's trying to get approval from her ancestry, your the Indian heritage of who you are. You're wearing a hat that's not yours.
Hmm.
And so I think that that's kind of like a big weight on your head, and that maybe if you allow yourself that break from it, you will come back in with the passion and the love of your country and really connect in a beautiful, loving way.
Mm. Yeah, I feel when I tuned in, Monica, what I'm getting is you, and it's interesting, we're talking about inserting yourself in your own life path at this moment, you know, for everyone to really, where's that nudge? And I feel with you, there's something about experimental, experiential, even movement, even the spiritual, psychological background of movement through healing, through sound. There is a call for you. Were you ever a dancer?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Ah, wow.
And
I've
been feeling called to dance.
Oh, this is so ancient for you. I feel if you were and there's also something with you working with children and also women to open up from the it's the whole Shishamana. It's the whole Shishamana, the whole center of the being, but specifically from the second, third, and fourth chakra, which if you put those together, the second, what do they say, second, third, fourth, is the ninth, which is the ascension point, getting beyond duality. So there's something for you in your movement where you move beyond judgment. You move beyond what should be or was, or you move into what is. And so the guidance is saying for you to get back into that movement and to really move and look for places where you can do what you do now, whether it's charity work or helping others or working at some kind of center, starting your own workshop. As I recall, I feel writing around as well. But the movement is going to give you the context of what you experience and then helping others through this journey. But I feel you do journey work is what I'm hearing. It's your own mystical experience, but helping others tap into that. But what you need to do at this part of your path is start tapping in to it on yourself. You need to tap in But the problem is your own weirdness. You need to tap into your mystery, your awe, you know, the god, the Uden energy, the primal. It's very ancient with you. It's the primal feminine and the primal masculine, very raw, and how they come together. And I don't mean that in gender. I mean that in energy. What's the form of moving out, jutting out, and coming within, and encircling, and embracing, and rejecting? And what is that primal life force energy, and how do you align to it, connect with it, and create from that? And that's your journey. You need to journey with that. I don't feel you're going to find it in... you're to get out of the head. You're to get out of the head and into the body, and then bring that experience back through the mental understanding. But you've got to get out of the head. I hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you. Do I need teachers right now at all?
Yes, you need it all. You need to more fully get into your experience, your journey. You know, when you go on a journey, you know, a hike or something, you have there's the hike leader, those people that have been there before, but you are allowed to go to the side of the road and have some berries or do some asanas, some yoga, kick back. Or maybe you say, I'm going to go further. I've been on this hike a couple times. I'll meet you later. Or you take some people too. So you're meant to be with people. I think that's the you need to connect with your soul tribe more, the like-minded individuals that are doing a similar dance or can understand your steps, you know?
Okay.
They may not agree, but they understand what you're doing, and they're doing their steps, okay? So you've got, I feel from your higher self, it's imperative that you get in an environment where that is supported.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Thank
blessings.
You,
Bye.
You're welcome.
Blessings, blessings. Okay, we've got time for one more quick call, and then we have our author will be coming on. Hi, 707-673, you're on Awakenings.
I think that's me.
It's you.
What's your first name? Yes, it's me. I'm here, and I want to get away from my computer so I don't have, like, an echo. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is my first time actually on the computer doing this. I've been listening to your broadcasts for over a year. I just relocated from Northern California back to Long Island, New York, which is dense as anything, and I guess I'm not finding a job because I guess my soul knows I don't want to be here. And my question is sort of the same as the previous caller before the Skype, the young woman who said she was thinking of moving to Arizona. I've been going to Sedona and Flagstaff since the late 1960s, and I don't know what it is about that place, but it keeps calling me. I guess it's my own internal fear of going someplace where I don't know anybody.
Okay, what's your first name?
My first name is Elisa.
Okay, Elisa, just what I said at the top of the program, the nudges. I lived in Europe a few times. I didn't know anyone. Start connecting, because I feel a move. I don't know, Paula will get his take on it, but I do feel you need to follow these soul nudges that come from the higher self. Now, the higher self is going to have you just jump in midair with no parachute, believe me, or steps. But you meet people online. Hey, I'm thinking of coming. Do you know? You know, when I would travel, and I travel a lot, and I was a lot by myself, especially in one of my former lives, I was a model and an actress, and you're just thrown in cities. I'd look for, where's the yoga studio, the gym, the health food store, the bookstore, cool cafe, and a nice place to hang out at night. I'd find those places.
I do the same thing. I travel alone a lot since I've been divorced 7 years, and I travel alone a lot because I'm not sitting around waiting for somebody to accompany me. I need to go out and live my life, and whether there's somebody by my side or not doesn't really matter. And that's not my real fear. It's sort of, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the fear is. I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm trying to shed it, peel it away, exercise it.
I'm not going to say the fear is always going to be gone because it's the unknown and you don't know. But what you can do is you can make some concrete steps by connecting with others in the area. Another good thing is to pick a place where you're going to study, even if it's just a weekend workshop. So you have something to do. I feel more than Sedona, and maybe you'll be back and forth, I keep feeling the Phoenix area around you.
Where I fly into.
Okay. So maybe it's studying with somebody in that area. There's some, whatever it is that you want to do. For me, I would go to temples, so I'd go to meditate. So and those places always had social things to do, or I'd find a spiritual center, you know, or church, a Unity Church, a spiritual center. I was in England, I studied at White Eagle Lodge, a lot of healing centers. I would seek those out first, and then I'd say, hey, I'm coming back in a few months, you know, and I'm going to study with this person or that person. And then from there, spirit led me, when I was guided. So I feel for you, there might be some of the unknown. I feel you'll probably be making more of this decision more concrete in March and April. This year, maybe May, June at the least. But do what you can to build up. I mean, if you want a tool, I do. There's my 5-step emotional clearing process, which helps with releasing fear and other patterns. Light Being 21, right. The YouTube channel. There's some meditations that you can do on that for releasing fear and using that energy. Remember, fear is an energy. It's an energy in motion. So it's not about getting rid of it. You don't get rid of it, but you learn how to harness it or manage it or requalify and recalibrate it into a less dense or paralyzing energy so that you can actually use it. And so there's some meditations on the Light Being 21 channel on YouTube that has that. But I do feel the move.
Thank you so much. It's just like it reconfirms what I guess I already knew, but I was suppressing maybe, trying to, you know, make it work here where I have family and friends, but I just don't feel right here. And it was so great when I was living in California last year. I don't know why I left. I guess I fled home. You know, home is sort of like where you have your connections and stuff. But even being out there, I just felt like it was where I needed to be, out west. It's been like that since 1968.
Yeah, you're still going to have your friends and your connections. They're not going away. You're just going to have a different relationship.
Yep, right. And I have been thinking about going back to school because I'm an old radio gal, and I guess I need to update my skills.
There you go.
There's
a lot of room. There's a lot of room on the net, and also a lot of burgeoning terrestrial radio as well. So,
thank you
got
so
it, girl.
Much. Thank
you.
You.
Confirmed for you.
Take care. I'm looking forward to the rest of the show.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Well, I'll be on my computer and off the phone.
Okay, great. Great to connect.
Thank you, Michelle. Right. Thank you, Paolo. Keep laughing.
Oh, I will. Thank you.
Somehow I feel our topic is perfect. So I mentioned at the top of the program, our Awakened Dialogue conversation is with Jason Gregory, and I want to just touch a bit. He's, of course, the author of The Way of the Weirdo. And Jason Gregory, for years, has been a researcher in the field of suppressed history, esoteric knowledge, and the origins of humanity. He actually grew up in the West to a very humble existence in the land of Asia. Jason's life in the East naturally moved him to the exploration of consciousness and the world within. There he studied philosophies of Vedanta, Buddhism, Hermeticism, depth psychology, the occult, and the way of the Tao. All this is reflected in his writing. And I want to give a warm welcome to Jason Gregory, author of Way of the Weirdo. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the program. Okay, you're on air. Hello, Jason. Okay, Skype caller, Jason. Hello, welcome to the program.
Hello, Michelle.
Jason. Oh, hello. Welcome. Can you hear me? I think you're on Skype. It might go in and out. If you have another way of... I don't have your number, Jason, and you're on air. Hello? It's appropriate. It's weird. It's happening already. Hello? Paulo?
Hello?
Okay, so we lost him. So maybe he'll call back in. Again, let's see if we can put the author is Jason Gregory. The book is The Way of the Weirdo. And I'm going to put those of you that want a visual experience, it's oneworldwithin.com is the, oh, I love that, within, .com is the website for Jason Gregory. And maybe he's getting a phone or something, getting on a different. Hello? Skype caller? Okay, well, let's go to 510-395 then while we wait for Jason to get back on air. Hi, 510-395, you're on Awakening. Welcome to the program.
Hi, I want to know how is my soul progressing?
Ooh, like that question. What's your first name?
Tasha.
Hi, Tasha. And in what way do you mean, how is it progressing? That's a biggie question.
How is I connected to my higher self?
And you want to be more connected, or you want to see if you are connected?
Yeah, I want to see if I am connected.
Yes, you are connected. And I look on the scale of connections, and you're entering into the kind of the light blue to the light auric energy or light lavender energy. So acceptance, loving yourself, feeling that divine presence around you. There seems to be an ancestor that has passed that's putting that around you, connecting you more, pulling, if you want to call it. There's a yearning inside of becoming really the abundant, beautiful being you are. And so that's kind of the energy around you on your soul level. Your soul says that it wants to sing even more and reach out to even more people.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know.
Are you? Go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to know. Does my ego has a name already, or do you have to name your ego?
Do you have to name your ego or eagle?
Yeah, my ego. Does my ego already has a name, or do I have to name my ego?
You are you.
Okay.
Got you. Yeah, you came in with that.
Yeah, you are. There's no separation, but I do feel you need to either tune in or meditate. Are you not meditating?
Yeah, I meditate from time to time.
Okay, maybe do that a little bit more. I mean, your physical body, you, is an extension of your soul, or an outpicturing of your soul in physical form. Otherwise, you'd be in spirit, right? So. But I do feel the hikes for you, that being in nature, water, being near water, to feel that presence, to feel that divine presence that you are.
Okay.
But you are you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thanks.
Welcome. Okay. Let's see. We got Jason back here. Hello, welcome to the program. Jason, are you?
Yeah, I'm here, Michelle.
Oh, yes, wonderful.
How are you, Michelle? How are you, Paulo?
Very good.
I'm great.
Great,
yes, Jason. The beauty of modern technology, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah. Oh, hey, listen, I've already been bumped from the show at the beginning. I got booted off my own show.
Yeah, no, I heard that. I heard that. There was a 5-minute silence there. I thought, no. But we lost total connection.
Yeah, this blog, you know, it's perfect in its imperfection. So.
Perfect.
Now, I've got to dive in.
Yep.
First, because I'm so tickled. I said at the top of the program the name of your book, and of course it has its, The Weirdo, has its weird, did you know this? It has its, the background is meaning the mystery or God, the all that is, coming from the Norse tradition.
Yep.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So let's start there. I love it. You're going to give, gosh, you're going to change the face of that name, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of something to be put down and banished, that you're weird, but to actually celebrate our weirdness. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. It's always been given a negative connotation, hasn't it, weirdo? So everyone thinks if you're a weirdo, there's something erroneous about that, but that's not true. Like you said, it's got something to do with that cosmic mystery, and and it's about following that mystery. That's why it's called Way of the Weirdo. So it's to get into the process of life instead of trying to reach a particular destination. That's the problem with a lot of humanity at the moment. It's a lot of people think we need to journey to get to some destination, when actually the destination is the journey itself. So that's what I've tried to language in the book, even though there's a lot of things in there that will probably please people's ego, but there's a lot of things there that speak from that center as well.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you're saying this. There's a wonderful synchronicity, and I'm sure it happens in other places too, but I notice on this program that always what's happening right around before I go on air, while we're on air talking, the beginning of the program, and what the guest is going to be talking or sharing about, or what their book is about, it all is interwoven. And, of course, because we're just all playing in part of this mystery, so we just show up, right? We're just showing up, and whatever tumbles out.
Yeah.
So it's so true, because I see so many people right now, Jason, and I think it's because of the energies that are now on the – it's always been happening, but there seems to be this highlighting where people are wanting the recipe. They're wanting – instead of following that way of the weirdo, which is so – those inward nudges, those synchronicities. I mean, people want some kind of manual, do this, do that, and the mystery doesn't unfold that way, right?
No. No, that's it. The people are wanting, I suppose, the answers now, because there is that, the energy is raising as we speak. You know, we can't deny it. There's been a total shift, and I think what's happening is majority of the population are missing out on that shift, but most are sinking in, like yourself, like this. I've been listening to the program this morning, Michelle, and it's perfect. You know, it symbolizes of the shift of energy in this cosmos. And I suppose, yeah, people are looking for a certain guide, so to speak. And it's true, like you said before, when you trek, in some situations, you will need a guide until you need a guide no more. Now, and this is what I love about the relationship between a guru and a disciple, because a lot of people in the West associate that with in a negative way, because a lot of people in the West believe that they know everything. Now, I'm not so sure about that. As you start to sink in with this new energy that's raising in the universe, you see the relationship with a guru or a master in a much purer way, because what that is that's actually a reflection of your true inner self or your soul being reflected into the physical world and guiding you past that last block, that last energetic block within your system, which I call the ego, or a lot of people call the ego. And how to not destroy that, but how to live with that and to move past the belief in your identity.
Yeah, well, we take on many identities, don't we?
Yeah, well, we do. I actually spoke to a hypnotherapist once, and he was saying that there's actually 15 ego states. So, and he said at least, like, that's the average. So I don't know how many people in the modern world would have, if we have 30 ego states, or we're just totally, you know, not ourself all the time. Like, that's truly going away from that center. So what we're seeing now is, as the energy is increasing in the planet, because the sun is moving into the center of the galaxy, that is a reflection of what's happening in most sentient life, because all sentient life is moving closer to that center or that crown chakra. And I don't want to say, well, you know, they are ascending their ego, so to speak, but not ascending the planet, but it's the ascension out of that mental state that keeps us separate.
Yeah. Boy, you hit on something there. That's this, you know, because the soul is all about expression. I mean, we are here to experience and express, you know, and you could say that's forms of love, however you want to put it, but it really is about getting to, I think, just showing up, not pre-structuring. you know, what you're saying in the mental, the, we become too polarized mentally where we configure everything, and then we show up like that, you know, oh, this is the way, if I wear white, you know, and big earrings. And
Yeah, I found that, like, you. It sounds like you found that also yourself, Michelle. Like, actually, the first time in my life when I stopped planning was when I traveled, and I just had no plan. I just sort of had an open canvas. And then, actually, when it's like that, things do come to you, and it's jumping out of that mental state of not planning, trusting totally in the universe because you are part of the universe, and letting that energy resonate to you, and just getting into the sink of that. And then you will find your dharma, so to speak, like your life purpose here, because your soul will then be free and be free to express itself. And usually that happens through creativity or art or what. You always see people who are very creative because they've sort of sunk more into that. They've rested into their beingness, so to speak.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now. I dropped out a sec.
Is Michelle up? I don't know. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's really interesting at this time that we're, you know, kind of re-identifying ourselves. Is there any type of information or tools that you can advise our listeners?
I suppose a lot of the tools, what yourself and Michelle have been talking about, like meditation, I suppose, and getting into yoga, these are actual tools of, I like to call these tools of Satya Yuga, which is, because I know a lot about the yuga cycles in the Vedantic philosophy, which is basically in the enlightened age, you had tools to ascend, to step out of that belief in your identity. Now, I want to emphasize on this because a lot of the listeners probably get their ego wrong, because the ego is not the identity. There's nothing wrong with having an identity. It's the belief in the identity. That's the problem. Because once you have a belief in your identity, you can start a war. And that's basically what we have on the planet. So the key is, like you said, certain tools. So I would say meditation and just trying to observe in every day, like not trying to get mentally caught up in the play. You know, a lot of people like to get caught up in the play. They have an opinion on everything. For once, just try not to have an opinion on anything. Try that for one day. If someone says, what do you think about this political problem or what's happening, you know, overseas in the war, just have no opinion and see what happens within yourself. Try that as a yoga. Do that as a meditation and see what happens. Try and get into the process of life instead of, like Michelle was saying before, not trying to get anywhere, just trying to get into the sink of life, just to have have no plan, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jason, thanks for carrying on with that. I got boosted.
You're back. Yeah.
That was great. I could hear. I called in on another line. But now, one thing, Jason, you said not. What was it? Not believe you're an identity. I loved what you were saying about that. Is it not believe you're an identity? Can you explain that a little bit for the listeners?
Well, yeah, I know it's probably complicated for a lot of listeners to understand, but I was taught this when I was in Asia, and there's a direct eternal truth about it. It's not your identity that's the problem. We all have an identity. Like Polo and Michelle are both beautiful people, like a beautiful expression of the all. You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's all of the embedded programs that have built the ego throughout time. So what's happened is since birth, you know, we've all believed that, you know, we're American or we're Christian or we're, you know, white or a female or a male. Now, all of these systems are built into yourself. So what happens is it builds this, it starts to construct something. It's man-made, you know, so it's starting to get built. So then there becomes, from that stage, there's a belief in that identity. So what happens from there is, it's very tricky, because when you have that belief that you are all those things, you can start a war, but can justify having a war, or you can justify causing harm to somebody else. But if you can just resonate with that, you are an identity, but you don't believe all those cultural blocks, energetic blocks within your system, then you can just be there. You can be there present, as still as Michelle, still as Paulo, but not as, you know, I'm going to fight and defend what I believe, not what I know. This is the whole thing. We all have these beliefs, but we never really seek to know. So we defend all these beliefs. We have so many opinions. And instead, don't act from that place. Peel all those layers back. Let go of all of that illusion and just meet someone on common ground. Just accept them for who they are and meet them on common ground. And then you'll see how you are exactly the same as them. You're looking in the mirror. But that's really what the belief and the identity is. It's all of those social constructs that have been embedded into our minds. So that's the problem in the world at the moment. It's the belief in the identity. And I always say that people say, well, what's the answer then? And I always just tell them, just know who you are. That's the answer. That's the answer to everything. Because if we all know who we are, we could never do that, because we would see each other on common ground and we would know exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, I always say I've had people come to me to work and say, I want to find out, who I am. And I say, just know you're a spiritual being and just forget looking out to go express that. Because you could be what? A doctor, a lawyer, a wife, a mother, a brother. I mean, those are all those identities. But I love so much what you're saying. It's the, obviously the over-identification of it, or the, attachment to certain identities, which, of course, causes separation.
Yep.
And, of course, I mean, in transpersonal psychology and also Buddhist psychology, even in Hinduism and the Vedas, they talk about the personality.
Yep.
So not the constructed ego, but the true personality or the true ego from a psychological standpoint is various forms of expressing. But we do have all these constructs that we have that need to be, some of them are false. They need to be dissolved or broken down.
I also love
what you said just about the showing up, right? Just if you just show up without the identity. Instead of relating through your identity, if you're just showing up to relate without
just
the identity, right?
Yeah, just observe. Just show up, and if it's an opinion on a certain war or just anything, if it's an opinion on how much money you're making through bread or something, just show up and just observe the situation and just see the expression as it's playing out. Do not have a mental opinion in it. Don't even add your two cents, and just see what happens, because that is a yoga. That is a meditation for yourself, because what you're doing is you're pulling your ego out of yourself. You are throwing water on the fire inside yourself. That's what you are doing, because inside, internally, you will be edging to get into that conversation. You will be edging to have your two cents, to have your opinion, even if it's the most frivolous nonsense what someone may be talking about. Just observe and just find out what happens within yourself. Watch those energies within yourself have that battle, and then what comes from that is only for that individual to experience, because as you continue this yoga, then more light comes into that darker side of your psyche. These are occult truths from back in ancient times, and they've been lost because we've suppressed the darker side of ourselves. When actually the darker side of ourselves is a beautiful thing, because you will see this expressed into art a lot. You'll see the darker side of the psyche expressed in art or in music, and actually it's really beautiful when you get to some of that music. You think, even though it's really dark, there is something that individual is going through internally, and they're expressing it. And that's the problem with humanity at the moment. We're not coming into those two energies within ourselves. We're not expressing both of them. And we're just trying to have a peaches and cream relationship with the world, when actually if you've ever understood your own being, you know that inside yourself there are past energies that are still there, egotistical energies that are there that need to be shown light on within you. So seek not to suppress it. And just, like I said, just show up, just turn up, and just get into the process of your own unfoldment instead of fighting it. You can't swim against the current. So get into the process of your own unfoldment in your own self, and then you will become that flower. That's a certainty.
The lotus, like the lotus. Now, how did you come to... What guided you to write the book, The Way of the Weirdo, and how did you come upon that title? That fascinates me so much. I love what you did.
Well, it's interesting because I was listening to your show earlier and you were talking about the journey and how the soul pulls you in certain directions and listening to that inner calling. So I suppose when I was living just in Australia, a pretty mundane life, I suppose you could say, not a lot of knowing about myself, a lot of knowing about sort of what's happening externally, but not what was happening within myself. But there was that natural call that I needed to get out of something that's been built around me, like the comfortability that's been built around me. So I had a desire to travel, and as I traveled for many years, it was very synchronistic. Things just fell into my lap. I started writing out of nowhere. I was put in a few situations when I was living in Burma where I was down to not much money because there was not access to any banks in Burma, etc. So I was down to one meal a day and I was getting very thin, etc. But in that state, it took me totally out of an egotistical state which cleared a block for me to write again. And then I started writing. And then as my journey progressed throughout many countries, I just felt that there was an inner calling, once again, to write a book, even though many years earlier that would have appeared absurd. But I just let, and I've always loved the word weird. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I've always loved that word, what weird refers to. Like you said, that mystery, and even on a mundane level, how it is that thing that is strange to the environment, something that is different, that is evolving in the environment, which people call weird. Yeah, I don't. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if that's what weird means, then I thought, well, that's a positive term. It's got nothing to do with negativity at all. So, and the way how it came about, Way of the Weirdo, was because it was at that time it was my journey through life. So, it was the journey into the weirdness. And or the wilderness, either way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just flowed out of me. I actually wrote it in about 2 months, and then there was just an editing process after that. But there was just a natural call all the way along, and it was just very synchronistic because I let go of, like you said earlier, Michelle, I let go of a plan. I had no idea of what I was going to do, and then that's what came about. It's almost like my true dharma had found me, like my purpose in life had found me, and it was to rediscover writing again, so, which was a great thing.
So what would you share with people on the way of the weirdo, and what do people, like, you know, you set out on a journey, what do they need? Do they need to have anything for this journey? Do they need to do anything?
Not in particular. Because if you set out on a journey, if you have total trust with what life is, then whatever you are needed to experience will appear. If that is hardship, then it's hardship. If it's a beautiful experience, it's a beautiful experience. But if you can embrace them all as what they are, then you will continue to take your own steps within your heart chamber. You'll continue to take the steps down into your heart. This is what happens. I know I actually spoke to Paula before about meditation, and I think these would be just natural discoveries as you take this journey. Mm. They're just natural. They are almost like, as you are building something new, they're just natural tools that you discover along your journey. I do tell people, you know, maybe you should try meditation, etc., or yoga, or you know, get into some other sort of sadhana or spiritual practice. But you know, I trust and believe that they would naturally find that anyway. I see many people. Actually, there's a lot of people these days who are actively meditating, which is a beautiful thing, because the effect that has on the mind is immense, because the mind becomes such a crystal clear ball, which is what we need. We don't need a stormy mind. We need a crystal clear ball within our mind to see reality much more. But yeah, I don't know. Like to have their own journey. Like you had a few listeners call in, and I think they were speaking about going to Sedona, etc. Just follow, like you said, follow that inner call. If that's the urge, then follow it, and don't let your ego interpret it, because your ego will say, no, no, stay here, it's comfortable, it's okay, we've got the game worked out, you're making enough money, you're doing all this. And then what I say is go against whatever that's saying. Don't listen to that. If you've got an inner call to go back to India or to Sedona or whatever, do that. Follow that and see what happens. Follow that with no plan and see what happens, because you will not end up on the street, trust me.
Absolutely. No, because the way is always there. If the impulse is there, that's why I don't know if you heard me say the higher self, I've never experienced it. I've done some things that people might say on the outside were risky, you know, leaving a business and just taking off. And I'm going to channel, I'm going to heal. But yeah, but the steps were always there. There were always, I think if you follow that nudge, that inner guidance, and I agree, I think meditation helps you realize if it is coming from the constructed ego or not, because that, you know, the ego can be trained, so it can start thinking that it's the, you know, the master, so to speak, and giving you this great insight, or now you're supposed to sell everything and go live in the teepee, you know. It can just really create fantastic distortions.
I'm glad you mentioned that because it's the ego can, it's funny, because the ego can start to believe it's the master, and then you're really caught in a bind then. This is why a lot of masters say, actually even in Buddhism, they say it's the height of the ego's arrogance to try and rid yourself of the ego. So that's one of the blights we have. It's just to acknowledge it's there. Listen to that nonsense that the ego will come up with. Just listen, acknowledge it's there, and then you will realize that you've always been the higher self. That's the blight of the game, to realize that you've always been the higher self, but you've identified with something different.
And they do, and I think it's subtle. It's learning the different voice. I know I have little safeguards, confirmations. I go in meditation. I sit with something. I know if I'm like fired up about, so I've got to do this, I've got to say this, it's usually not the higher self. It's usually, you know.
but that's the cosmic breath. That's what they call the breath of Brahman, to be dragged into that and to be dragged out. It's something that we have to live with. Like you can sit with the most enlightened master or sage, and he will say, you think I don't have the mind? Of course I do. You can never get rid of it. It will always talk to you, but now it's my friend. That's the difference. Not for you, Michelle, but for the majority of people, it's their master. We've got to change that relationship. The ego just needs to be our servant in this world, just something that is there to help us through life easier instead of, you know, against each other. So
yeah. One of my teachers used to say, it needs to be the caboose and not the engine. And yeah, and it is. It's a wonderful to-do. It's to give it something to do. It's good at lists. It's good. It's bless it. I love. It's got its place. But you know, errands. There's certain things it knows how. And it's meant to keep things the status quo going. It's meant to keep, maintain and stabilize. You know, and therein is, if you stay with that, it'll do it too much, you know, and you'll never grow, or you'll never leave your home, right? You'll never
No, you'll never leave home. You'll stay in the same street you were born in, and then you'll raise a family there, and it gets pretty nutty when you get into that realm.
Yeah, it's true. Oh my God, that's so true. People that never leave, and the constructed ego. Now, Jason, are you on tour? I saw some things with the Hangman tour. Is that happening now, or is that passed already?
That was passed. That was actually in May, June. That was the Hangman tour. And then I had the Reality Unplugged tour in November. They were both great tours, successful. And I presented a lot of new work. The Hangman tour was more of an introduction to Way of the Weirdo, and the Reality Unplugged tour was more of a lot of my own new research, but also my own intuitive understandings about what's happening here at the moment. And it was really well received. So yeah, I was grateful to all that came out.
And where can people find? I know you have oneworldwithin.com.
Yep.
Is that the best? And you're also on YouTube, One World Within.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your book is available Amazon, The Way of the Weirdo.
Yep. Look, anyone can get me
through
any of those sort of avenues. The oneworldwithin.com is sort of, it's a moving construct, which is not such a complete website at the moment, but it's running, it's available. And most of my social media is probably the best way to contact me through YouTube, One World Within, and Twitter, One World Within. And also, people can connect with me on Facebook if they choose. So,
We put up the Awakenings Radio something as well. So now this also, my understanding, the Unplugged Tour, you're also going to make into some kind of tutorial at some point that people can have some of this information online. Is that?
Yeah, it's true. It's my presentation in the Reality Unplugged Tour was actually called The Sacred Sound of Creation, and it gets into, I suppose, the core components of how reality is constructed and the consciousness that drives it. So when the Reality Unplugged Tour finished, I thought, well, the information's so great, and actually the presentation was so, well, I put it together so good that I just wanted to put it into, say, a presentation/film style. So I've actually been friends with an American filmmaker for a while, Justin Jezewiski, and him and I at the moment are in the process of constructing the film, and we're hoping to premiere it free online through YouTube in February. So it'll be great to get that out there.
You'll have to come back and share that with us as well.
I'd love to. You go.
Oh, I was just going to say, the one thing I want to touch on, the sacred sound of creation, do you find as we're moving out of more mentally polarized beings, and I even look at the emotionalism, the emotional body and the mental body, really that didactic play of the interplay of the two, that we're moving into being more connected, let's say, through subtle energy and through the sound or tone of who we are, getting back to that beyond the mind, but being perhaps led by that tone, that sound, that vibration.
Yeah, definitely. I look, I know you know that, Michelle. I feel that. Like, it's as you move all those cultural blocks, you're stepping back more into that primal energy, that primal sound. And this is why, you've heard it throughout time. When a lot of people say they reach samadhi, there is that primal sound that they hear, the om. They start to hear that within their ears much more and more and more, which is, it gets really crazy when you get into that aspect where you start to hear not just the ringing within your ears, but the om. That's starting to rise within your own being. You're getting closer and closer into the source. You're stepping further and further into the center, into that sacred sound. Now, I find that really interesting, and we are all, each and every one of us, we are connecting in our own way to those more subtle energies, some more than others, but that's part of the dance. But the ones who are feeling it more and more, continue to go down that road and see what happens for yourself.
be interesting to see how we express when we're playing more at that level, you know, that play of consciousness consistently. You know, when
yeah.
we're coming from that, the sound template, the vibration
yeah.
In tone.
Well, that's why people
yeah.
ask me, they say, what, where do you see us come 10 years? And I cannot imagine where we're going to be in 10 years from now because, well, all we have to do is look around since for what's happened in
we'll
the last 10 years.
We'll be telepathic and clicking like dolphins.
We won't need to do this interview like this. We can meet out in the stars and we'll have an interview out there.
Exactly. Oh, Jason, we're out of time on this level, this dimension, but open
it's been
invite
a pleasure.
To have
it's been
you
a pleasure.
Back. Oh, it's been fab. And have you on for longer and then hopefully no glitches, but, you know, it is internet, and so we just kind of go with that flow there.
Yeah, that's okay. Look, I'd love to be back on,
yeah.
And yeah, anytime you guys, Paulo and yourself, then, yeah, I'll come back on.
Great, sounds good.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Jason.
Excellent. Thank you.
And that was Jason Henry, author of Way of the Weirdo, and you can connect with him at oneworldwithin.com or on YouTube, One World Within, and, of course, Twitter and Facebook, One World Within. The Way of the Weirdo, wonderful. Just the path of just that following those inner nudges. Great to connect with all of you. Paulo, as always, great to have you here. I want to say Manny, but spiritually manning the ship here.
kind of filled in there.
Yeah. Well, I love it. Do any time. Yeah, please. That's you know, we're all here dancing together. Everyone, thank you so much for your patience with the glitches and also your email questions and comments and input. Those of you that would like to email me, that's awakenings@selfandlight.com, and that's for guest suggestions, email questions in, and comments. Love it, the feedback. I listen. Paulo listens. We all listen. This is our co-creation with you, so you're co-creating it with us. Again, our
guest
is Jason Gregory. That's right. Our guest, Jason Gregory, author of Way of the Weirdo. Till next time, continue to share your light, shine your light, and, of course, keep awake. Let's end with a little breathe by Urban Myth Club.